Peace, 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 peace. Welcome to the new show, The Poet's Corner. We got some talented young ladies, all published authors, all diverse poets in their own right. Ladies, introduce yourself, please.
You're what up? It is Nat the Poet, or as y'all know me, Yernandez, Natstradamus, whatever you call me today. I am published author of 3 books. Roundtable, Vuela, and my new baby coming out February 17th.
New baby.
New York City built, Florida grown.
New York City.
Birthday.
Oh.
Down the vibe.
Yes.
Hi. Hi, I'm Jessica. I'm a spoken word artist and recently published poet. I wrote a book called Manipulated by Love, Sex, and Depression. My Instagram is jpaya. Yeah, that's about it.
Hey,
and last but not least.
Oh, sorry. I got a little ahead of myself. Hey, it's Shade the writer. You can find me on Instagram at Shade underscore the writer. I'm a published poetry instructor, and I have a collection of poetry available wherever books are sold online titled Side Pieces. And yeah, from Long Island, you know what it is.
So this is the new show. I'm getting my new segment. Hopefully, Stephanie could join us. I really want us to tag team this whole new segment, you know what I mean, and really, really dive into pieces, wordplay, delivery, everything that comes with what is being a spoken artist, what is poetry, but as, you know, my little spin on it, you know what I mean, and our little spin on it over at the BTB Studios. Let's just get this straight off right here. All of y'all got books, or as Sade would say, a collection of poems. You know what I'm saying? So let's speak to that. Like, what is the process of actually saying, all right, I'm gonna actually make a book?
It's a long one.
It's a process, but I mean, for me, it took me a while to consider myself a poet, because I felt like poets, like these crafty, like wordsmiths, and I feel like I write pretty straightforward, like my feelings are on the page. And it wasn't until like IG poets became like a thing that I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I am a poet. And I had a bunch of like little pieces on my computer. And during quarantine, I'm like, they all had similar themes. And I'm like, this could be a collection, you know, maybe a collection of poetry. And then, you know, I just went with that, went through editing, which is a process Nat can speak, you know, and Jessica speak to that. But yeah, for me, it was like, you know, now or never, you know, why not? Like, just do it.
Amen.
It's a super long process about like everything, and I completely relate to you, Sade, about not even considering yourself a poet, because I didn't for so long either. I was like, and sometimes I still feel like I don't. I'm like, no, because I don't, you know, write the same. I don't have as many metaphors. I don't have as many wordplay, whatever the case is. It's a whole, oh my God. Thank God for Nat, because Nat was literally helped everything. And if you look at the, you know, the creators and the people who have helped create that book, it's Nat, my sister, and Felipe. And Nat, it's a whole lot of tears, bro. Like, the process is just nothing but tears. I don't know. It's just crying. It's just tears.
Yes. Definitely. I mean, I've considered myself a poet since like 2013, when I did my first open mic at the college I used to go to in Florida. Ever since then, people were like, yo, you have to keep doing this. You cannot stop. So around that time, I created what people know now as Alone at the Roundtable, 8 years ago. And it kind of stuck with me, and I wanted to write my first book and kind of have it out before I left Florida to come to DR for good, but it didn't work out that way. I was just really, like, I would always just put it off. I was like, no, not today. No, not today. But one day, like a year and a half after I got here, I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn how to do it today. It didn't go as planned the first time. I went through hell the second time. I went through hell again with Jessica. But doing it with Jess helped me figure out how I wanted to do it for my third one.
Okay.
That's, you know.
Okay, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I like that. I like that. So what can the people expect from your books? Or what would you say, like, is your writing style? If you have a patent, not say patent, but if you know that's in your wheelhouse, like, what is one of your writing styles?
So my writing style, I have to rhyme. Like, that's just my thing. I mean, I don't even know if that's technically a style, but I just have to rhyme. It's just got a flow. It's got a rhyme. And, you know, most of my poems revolve around, you know, relationships and situationships, depression. I mean, the title really speaks for itself, Manipulated by Love, Sex, and Depression. And it takes you on a journey of my journey of who I was. Those poems, I wrote them maybe like 2017 to about maybe even a little bit earlier to, I feel like, recently 2019. And it's everything that I had to go through to become who I am today. And there was a lot, and there's a lot of things that aren't even said in there just because I haven't spoke on them, but that it touches on a lot. It touches on suicide. It touches on sexual assault. It touches on grief. Yeah. It touches on depression, self-worth. It's everything, you know?
That's jam packed in there.
Took me on my book. I'll take that.
I need your book.
Well, I've got it's $20 on my website. I'm going to publish it 100% to the public tomorrow, but my website is strongerthanyourpain.com, because on the back of my book it says you are stronger than your pain, and I think that it's important for readers to understand that they are stronger than their pain. I am stronger than my pain. Everybody is. So that's something that's the message I'm really trying to push forward, to advocate for mental health, to advocate and, you know, kind of learn your self-worth and who you are as a person. I think a lot of women really can relate to my book. I'm trying, you know, I've had a couple of men like, oh wow, I like that poem, so it really means a lot to me when guys say that. But, you know, there's a couple of poems in there that are not so friendly to the men, but
I can guarantee there's a couple. we ain't shit in a couple of your pieces. I know
it's not you guys, it's one specific person. And
okay,
speaking to all men, then maybe that's something that, you know, reflects on your character and that you should definitely take some inventory and look at yourself on.
Absolutely. So
I say that to, you know, a lot of the men, because I feel like I have to disclose that at the end. I'm like, this is not a slander on men. You know, I love y'all, but some of y'all.
I think that sometimes we just generally assume, like, here we go.
Yeah.
But, you know. Nat, sorry. what are some? What would you say is with your wheelhouse of writing?
Love.
Hip-hop.
Depression. Anxiety.
Sounds like a movie.
Right. That's what my life
is.
It's a movie. It's one long ass what the fuck. It's like
Oh damn. Is it like a rom-com or like what is it?
No. I don't know anymore.
Damn.
It's a thriller.
You said it's a thriller? It's suspenseful.
It's a horror film. It's a biopic.
Oh, that's dead.
Documentary.
Yeah.
Whole series.
And what about you, miss?
I would say, like, my poetry style is considered, like, free verse. So it's, like, doesn't have a rhyme, it doesn't have like a meter. It's literally like your emotions on page
in here.
Mm-hmm. Super raw.
And my poetry, yeah, you know, because there was you know, when I was in school, like there was, I took a few like writing classes, and poet Wordsworth said that poetry should be this spontaneous flow of emotion. And I would like subscribe to his idea of what poetry is for me. Like, it's dope when people can rhyme and be crafty with their words. But my style is more of that. It's just my thoughts on page, my emotions on page, raw. Yeah. Some edits, but you know, that's what it is. As far as like themes, well, my collection of poetry is called Side Pieces. You can take it literally.
For people who are listening and they don't know what's going on the screen right now, there's a little bit of soliciting going on right now. They want each other.
Let's show our book covers to each other.
Show off the book covers. I like it. I like the book covers. This is and you know what? This is beautiful.
I like that.
This is beautiful because it shows the reflection of who you are on there. You know what I'm saying?
Literally.
I love that. These are the published mommies on the show. Welcome to the new show, Woo! The Poet's Corner. So let's just like the party a little bit more. This is a new show. I'm excited, man. I don't know if y'all know. I got the good spirits of I shouldn't even show y'all, but it's the 19 crimes. Y'all know. It's $10.99. It's all right. But Snoop was on the cover, so I said, whatever. You know.
What kind of wine is that?
Is it Riesling? Okay. Riesling. Okay. Nice.
Riesling, yes.
Nice. Nat, you got some water or some ginger ale over there?
Got water.
Okay. You keep it hydrated. You got
rum and coke.
Okay, rum and coke. Okay. So that's two wines, rum and coke, and a water martini. Not bad. So let's say that was with love. Gotta stay hydrated out there. Drink responsibly, people. So what I wanted to do, let's excite the party more, what I was saying. Let's get into some pieces, man. Let's do it. Who wants to set it off first? Do you want me to set it off first? Because it's out here. It is a group of ladies. I might as well do it, right? It's my show, right? Of course, y'all gonna agree to that. Cop outs.
Yeah, let's get it. Let's go, Lowe.
Yeah, that's cop outs. All right. So let's see here. Let me dig in the crates here. See what I got. All right. So, fitting, because it's February, Black History Month, even though we should have a year, we should have a decade, we should have centuries, but look, we'll get into another show. This piece I performed, not performed, but I guess I debuted it on the gram, on Instagram machine, as Dean would say, and I miss Dean.
Smash up.
Don't worry about that. Smash up. So fuck Dean at this. This is my show. So we get to my new piece. It's all love. He would say the same shit. Steel, sharp, and steel. You know what I'm saying? So my piece that I wrote a while ago, but this was in memory of Jacob Blake. And just pretty much in memory of everybody, you know, and being in a place where, you know, the cry for social justice was very loud at that point in time. You know what I mean? So where the point that everybody recognized it, and if you were ignorant to it, it put you on the other side, you know? So I feel like at that point, okay, maybe I wasn't protesting, but at least this beautiful piece of art, which I never thought I could create, came about, you know? So, small backstory for that. So, let's get into it. Peace. Give me that good energy. That good energy. Everybody snaps. All right. I am Jacob Blake. I am Mike Brown. Had no right, but I am Tamir Rice. I was supposed to be the class of 2020, but I died because of fucking Arizona and some candy. I am Trayvon Martin. On my honeymoon trip to hell, I am Sean Bell. White girl lied and said I whistled at her. Due process? I was fucking killed. But still, I am Emmett Till. this shit is getting out of hand. I passed in the precinct before the photo. Don't forget me though. I'm Sandra Bland. I told the police I had steel. And now there's no part of my body that I can feel. I am Flando Castile. 8 minutes of your knee on my neck. No respect. Saying I can't breathe until my final death. I am George Floyd. Still running the race against racism. Got a good pace, but I'm not too worried. How could I forget? I'm a black man running this race. I'm Ahmaud Arbery. You invaded while I was asleep. You compromised my peace. I upped my peace. Now there's eternal rest for someone's niece. I am Breonna Taylor. I am Eric Gardner. So now a kid is missing his father. I am Freddie Gray. I'm every nigga you slayed. There's just too many names to name. I don't know if I should be a positive staple to my community and vote because I'm supposed to, or load up 16 for 1600 and go postal. You probably got that meme mug going on. And if you don't, it's cool. It just means that me and you don't have the same kind of watch. We've been here eons before you. Light years ahead when it comes to intelligence. Centuries of oppression, so systemic. I'm talking for decades I controlled our professions. Disenfranchised us. So who gives a fuck about a LinkedIn? I replayed every second of history in my minute whenever I'm thinking. Society sabotaged my old one, so I gotta come with a new plan. Is it Malcolm or is it Martin? I don't give a fuck as long as my weapon come with a stand. I'm Huey, I'm Riley. I'm conscious, I'm rowdy. I'll serve you food for thought on a big ass fork like Maserati, or give you four rings like an Audi. And you can't harm me as long as my ideology lives on. But if you do come for me, just know, my word is my protection and my weapon. I am. Peace, 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 peace.
Beautiful.
Damn.
Thank you. Wow. I gotta get some water after that.
Did you see American Skin?
No, I did not.
Oh my God, you're tripping. You need to watch that.
I need to watch that?
I started it, but
yes, you do. Everybody does.
Where is the show located?
You don't want to finish it? American Skin? No, it's the movie. It's Nate Parker's movie.
Oh, yes.
When it's fun, yeah.
I've seen clips of them. Yeah. There was a scene where they're like held up somewhere and they're all sitting there having a conversation. It looked like some kind of like office mm-hmm. or precinct kind of thing, but I've seen some clip like that. But yeah, I do need to watch that.
It was a precinct. Mm. Yeah, it's a great film, one, and there's some conversations in there that happen that, you know, it really makes you think. Like, it's not one of those films that obviously it's going to make you angry because of the things that happen in it, mm-hmm. but it's done in such a way that I feel like if people actually sat down and digested it, you know, non-Black people, and mm-hmm. actually digest it properly, they would understand where we're coming from, you know? But it's a dope film. You should check it out. And we could discuss after.
Ah, fire. Movie review. So that was the piece. I haven't read that in a little bit. I was a little bit cotton mouth, so I was a little stumbly. But nonetheless, I felt like I kind of stepped out of my comfort zone. Like, usually my shit is dark storytelling. We know that. Mm-hmm. We know that. You know what I mean?
Very slick, right?
Yeah, very, very, very slick, baby slick, right? So this was like, yo, what the fuck? How did I even come out with this? This is fire. And it was just like, it just came, and I tried to like, and I midway reading it, I was like, yo, I used to read them in different voices, so it made you think that it was different people. You know what I mean? So like, when I say I am, yeah, I really become that person. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so who's next? Who wants to kick it off next, man?
I mean, mine isn't as prolific.
Oh, thanks.
But I'll kick it off. Everybody got different styles.
Yes.
So I would get drunk and delete our photos. I would block you on the gram, block you on Twitter. But when the hungover wore off, I would still pick up the phone. I kept going back because deep down inside, I enjoyed the drama. I thrived off of our arguments, the cuss outs, and the really scary points of aggression. I felt something. I wanted to feel anything, even if it was unhealthy.
Wow.
Wow.
There's no way. There's still more. There's still more. Where is it? You just.
I know, I gotta work on making them a little longer because I feel like Lo's be reading like 7 pages. Now we have it 6 pages long of poems, you know. I gotta work on my length.
No, but
that was beautiful. I need more though. I need so much more. I don't need it all. Give me all the details, everything.
And the way that ended, I think that it was a heavy punch that people can relate to. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we get stuck in these toxic ass relationships, and it's like sometimes we're blind to the toxicness. Sometimes we see it and we accept it, and sometimes we're just like completely oblivious and ignorant to it. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's always there though, and it's just like, you know, sometimes love makes you do crazy things. You know, so that resonated with me. When I was like, damn, that shit's true. Sit back like, damn, that shit's true.
I'm gonna block and then I'm blocked. Just to do it again in the morning.
Yeah, that block, like just to still talk to you. Like, why did I even do that?
No, I supposedly changed my whole number just to get back in contact with the person. But the lengths, the stupidity.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying. Love makes you do crazy things, man. It puts the fucking blinders on your shit. And you're just like, oh, what the, whoa, you know? And it's like,
you're caught in headlights at that point. Shit.
Yeah.
You done. Know? I'm done. I am done with that chapter of my life. And I think, God, I am the dog.
Sade, was that a piece in your book? Side piece?
So that was actually not. I actually wrote that recently.
Nice.
And just a little back story. I used to talk to this dude, and
that's how it all starts, doesn't it?
he was tricking me.
That's the first mistake.
It was a little island thing, you know.
It's always him.
And
it's always the crew.
And he was like the first person that really, and obviously I recognize that it's not healthy, but he was the first person that, like, you know, like took ownership of me, you know, like.
In what regard?
Oh, it's always the island.
In what regard?
You know, it's all right. So at the time I wasn't really like looking for like a relationship or anything. I was talking to a few people, and he was like the first person that, like, if I was outside, like, this is during college, like, if you saw me on the yard, like, yo, get over here, you know, like, come, like, if I'm talking to somebody, if I'm talking to another dude, and it could be a friend, like, he'll pull up, like, yo, what's good, you know, and that at the time was attractive to me. I'm like, oh, this nigga want me for real.
Low-key crazy.
You know, so it's like,
low-key kind of creepy. Low-key controlling, though. I just want to put that out there, but I can see the woman side of it. Like, it is like, yeah, he's willing to claim you,
and you know, right, essentially, yeah, I guess when you say it like that. And you know, it got, I'm not a yeller, and I'm not like that type of person, but he would push me to these points, and we would get into these like ridiculous arguments and crazy points, scary aggression towards each other. And
yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah, but when I think back, I'm like, yo, it was unhealthy, but I actually felt something, you know, like it felt like I had feelings, and I didn't feel that before. You know, I'm past that now, thank God. But at the time, it was like this this is what I thought feeling, you know, I felt something. It was passionate, even though it wasn't healthy.
So. Whew. No. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. That toxic shit be real sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Say that shit again.
That toxic shit be real sometimes. And there's levels of toxicity. You know what I mean? There's Chernobyl, and then there's motherfucking, there's a fuckboy. You know what I'm saying?
I got poems for you. I got poems for you.
You know what I'm saying? There's that's what it is. Are you toxic or are you radioactive? Let's be real. What's your atomic number, my man? What's your atomic number? Where are you on the periodic table?
No, too much.
You gotta find out, ladies. You gotta ask them. That should be one thing you'd be asking people on dates and stuff like that. A lot of Zoom dates going on nowadays. You gotta
what ask if they don't know their toxic number? What if they think that they're like the most innocent person on the planet, and when you get to know them, you're like, oh no,
those be the ones you gotta look out for. be the ones you gotta look out for. Oh, you think?
They're like, oh, I know, I'm good. I've never done this. I've never done that. And it's like, no, you have done it all.
Right. Oh, yeah, trust me. When I go on dates, you think I tell half these dudes the crazy shit that I've done? Oh, hell no.
No, but you got to give them a glimpse. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, yeah.
I just tell them I write poetry and hope that they understand I'm crazy enough. Like, if you listen to some of the poems.
That's it. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know.
I gave you the warning. It's up to you.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. That's all it is. It's all it is really a warning. Like, oh, all right. She's bugged out. She all right, though. You know what I'm saying? That's the rationale. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, all right.
It's like when this says I'm about to send it to a couple people, like, hey, you want to know more about me? Just listen to this. Listen.
Link to purchase.
Yeah.
Like, yo, anybody asks you, you know, wants to buy you a drink, wants to get to know you, like, I'm all for getting to know you, but read my book first.
Right.
Right.
Talk about that, because now y'all all authors, right? Y'all all got your own books, right?
Published.
The published mommy's episode.
Published facts.
So is that in the bag? Like, can you say that now? Like, you, I am a established author. I'm an established writer.
Yeah, I've done.
Is different now. You gotta talk different to me now.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Oh, yes.
Motherfucking lie.
Something
with me.
Oh my bad.
He's running businesses now. He's books.
Was it New York City built? It was New York City built, right? Right now, New York City built.
And she pours herself another drink. Go on.
I said, Nat, it's New York City built, you said, right?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Guys, just checking.
You're not far grown, baby. Don't play with
me. Check it. Okay. I'm dialed in. Hello?
I will tell you one thing. This new book has a whole different vibe, kind of. Mm-hmm. There's a poem block about one specific person. It tells a story of greatness, and it goes into nah, dog.
It's Shakespearean, if you will. A little bit of tragedy, if you will. if you will, and only if you will. But can we get into a piece? It don't got to be from that, although I would love an exclusive. But can we get into a piece?
I can do a piece.
Drop that exclusive. Yeah.
Okay, so this piece, actually, I wrote it while I was in quarantine in Florida.
Quarantine.
Said person from this block of poems actually responded to the poem with the song he wrote. So.
Oh.
Ooh.
Are we saying names at this point?
No.
No clout.
We don't do no free plugs over here, man.
No clout.
Bye-bye.
No, we know. If you know, you know. All right. Anyway. Exclusive. No shade. Exclusive. What was that?
It goes, I've always wondered but been afraid to ask, whose face do you see when you talk to me? Like, what does she look like? Do we share similarities? Is she skinny like me? Pale but sun-kissed in the sunrise? Who is she? I only ask because we get too passionate with our words, but then you stop, or that then you pause, as if suddenly you remember that I am from your past. She probably is too. I just want to know so I don't continuously knock on your door or open mine when you come back around. In search of the attention I no longer give you, I mean, I do, but just trying hard not to cater to your ego's needs. You make it so difficult. The memories of our morning spring back like the summer I fell for you. Your winter lips on my goosebumps skin, I was yours 100%. But now, someone else parades your head, has a knot around your heart. I dare you to say no. I've seen the way you missed her and how you speak to me when that name rushes past your teeth and you remind me I'm just your best friend. But you're the one who can't let go of me. When my heart searches for a new name to whisper, new lips to feed, new arms to call home, but I wonder if any of them saw me in your eyes and asked you, who is she?
Peace, 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 peace.
What the? Yo, bro.
Who the fuck is she?
Yeah.
When I look into your eyes, who is she? We don't know. We don't know.
We know now. She's a public
author. Okay.
We don't know.
She got three of them things.
Yeah, they don't know. Oh, damn, you dated Nat, the published author? Oh, nah.
Three of them things.
I know two people who are going to get that question. Like, yo, was this you?
Three of them things. Three of them things.
The next question to them is going to be like, yo, which book were you, my guy?
Talk dirty.
Ooh, which book were you?
Talk dirty.
One of them
it's a trilogy on your ass.
One of them can say all three books.
It's a trilogy on your head, kid. You got a whole fucking trilogy on your head.
But guess what? There's one who can say I'm six pieces out of her 17 or 18 pieces. That's a beautiful thing because I tell the story of how beautiful we started out and then I tell the story of how unfortunate things ended up. But anyway, your turn, Jen.
Yo, Max, I love that piece. I love
this
that
is
piece.
this episode is strictly for the women, for the ladies.
I'm gonna read a piece that's not in my book.
That's okay.
One of my favorite pieces that I wrote last year. This was, if anyone, I was on a hiatus from February of last year till September. If anyone wants to know what I was doing, it is this piece. It was the process of this.
And can I give you a little black backstory on that?
A little backstory on it?
Yeah, black story, sorry. It's my story. For most people who don't know, around that time we spoke about this in pre-production. Jess had did an episode on BTB, right? And then, like, you know, obviously because we have our own release schedule, it didn't come out exactly when we recorded it, so it came out later. And
wait, which piece? No, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing a piece that I did on
BTB. No, I know you're not. I hope you wouldn't. We had came out with an episode, and Jess was like, "Yo, listen, I'm just falling back. I'm not going on the gram. I'm just gonna disappear."
Oh my God, yes, I forgot.
I was like, "Oh, all right, cool. Ain't your business." I was not gonna tag you, but can I? You know, you gonna be? Can I? We gonna post it? Yeah. But you're not gonna be here. So Jess ran it up, and it was a good episode. Yeah, I could go, you know, plug that back, but. Go ahead, continue.
I actually put that on my website. So when I drop my website, but y'all can look at it, stronger.com, I put live performances. And since that's the only performance that I really did, I just copied the description from the YouTube. I put you on the page. So, yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing. She's telling me this now on air. So I'm just going to say, it's good that we cool.
Love it. Love it.
I'll sue you.
$5. Okay. All right. So, yeah. So, this is a piece of shit that I was going through for a while. So this is called Eternal Impressions.
Ooh, I like that.
All right. The world aligned for us to meet. And I don't say those words aloud fictitiously. You were the change I saw in all my dreams, and our chemistry sparked almost instantly. You shared your struggles. I shared my past. We both agreed we'd never last. I am a temporary person. You spoke those words, and I just laughed, see. I focused so hard on what our future had stored, damaged by love, but still yearning for more. I always knew I wanted to love you, but right now, I'm not so sure. I said I wanted consistency. You fell for me just as hard and decided on commitment, but I knew your love would wander because I swore I felt the distance. Things were great until you cheated with your alcohol addiction. I just wish there was a way to fix the voids that you keep filling. I pray for you almost daily, for your sobriety, but mostly your safety. I've never experienced a love this intense, and I swear, when I swiped right, this was never my intent, but you restored my faith in God after life-altering events, and I don't know how else to repay you but by coming to your defense only. You bring out the worst of me. Have me quick to catch a charge for murder in the first degree, ready to set fire to every building without the thought I'd end up burning me just to look up at the jury with every bit of certainty like, yep, I did it. The relationship we've established has become way too complex. Always in distress because we're way too obsessed and we try to stay away but keep coming for the sex because we have threesomes. That must make it hard for you to quit. I'm on top, riding crazy with the taste of liquor on your lips and the scent of nicotine. Underneath your fingertips is all I fucking smell when you lean in for a kiss. Your addiction is causing too high of a demand. Look, I know I said ride or die, but this was not part of the plan. I can't keep grabbing or dragging you by the hand because I'm too young to have a child, but you're too young to be a man. So where do we stand? Are you prepared to lose a love over your addiction to the drugs? Because I mean it when I say that this time I've had enough of the back and forth drunk heartfelt messages. Because when you're sober, it's fuck you and death sentences. I hate you. I'm ending this. And then you're drunk, want to kiss and make up without ever mentioning it like it never happened. And, you know, sometimes I think you're just someone I imagine because there's no way on earth I could ever love an addict. But here I am helping you fight off your demons. And here you are. Helping me write these masterpieces, helping me finally find a reason to put away pills and all sharp objects because you showed me my life's meaning. You are my biggest life lesson, my fatal obsession. We are temporary lovers with eternal impressions. The world aligned for us to meet. And I'm going to say it once more in case I spoke it too fast. The world aligned for us to meet. But was never designed for us to last. And that's peace.
Peace, 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 peace. Talk that celestial shit. That's what I gotta say. Talk that celestial shit. Yo, talk that astrology shit.
Face right now.
Yo, you
no. Talk that shit.
No, you have no idea. Like that, talk about like sent from God in like the best and worst way possible. There's no other way to explain it. But that, like, and it's crazy sometimes because of the way that things like have ended or like, you know, when we were rocky, how things would be. And it almost felt like, did you even exist? You know, how when you go into, you know, how like when people encounter like other people in movies and then it's just like, you know, they have this whole like life changing experience and then they go back and it's like they were talking to themselves the whole time or like they were walking, like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, like it's a hallucinogen. Hallucination.
That's what it feels like. And so that's exactly what I meant when it's like, sometimes I, you know, I feel like you're just someone I imagine because it's like what the fuck really happened? Like, you know, but talk about.
That's a bar, by the way.
That is a bar. That's definitely a bar.
Talk about from God though, because that person is not in any of the pieces of my book. But let me tell you, that person is one of the main reasons that that book got published last year. And
no clout, wow. no clout.
No, can't stand that person.
No, ain't no case, baby.
You know?
No clout.
That was fire, bro. I felt that, like.
Thank you.
And you want to talk about my pieces are long. That was, you took me on a whole journey, yo. Like, I see, I was, I feel like I was in stages of this man's his man's addiction. I'm like, bro, you gotta stop with the cigarettes. You smelling like liquor, bruh. What are you doing?
Your time. What are you doing?
That's crazy.
But I think that's gonna be, you know, inspiration for another piece. Because there's a lot of stuff that I'm going to write a book about him. He is special enough in my life to have a whole poetry book dedicated about him. Doesn't know it yet. I don't think that I told him, but that person is not somebody that I am in contact with now. So, but that person is still.
can we talk about this? Can we talk about this? Because I think that sometimes, like, okay, I can write with someone in mind, someone like I'm referencing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wrote, obviously, had my girl on mind when I wrote pieces, but I never wrote something with, like, directly aimed at a particular in mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to load up the clip to this person. I never really thought of it like that.
I have to, because it's like, it's just so emotional, like, you know, I don't know how else to explain it, but like, what do you do with those emotions?
It's like therapy.
It is like therapy. Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead, Nat.
I mean, some of my pieces are like, it may not be one. Well, the one that I read was about one person, really. But in general, a lot of them are like mashups of people. Like, it'd be like
experiences.
It could be three different people in one poem, you know.
Yeah.
But there are some that are directly aimed at like one particular situation or whatever. But I usually have a feeling in mind, and then I'm like, okay, this person brought up these feelings, and then boom, you know.
Nat?
I'm gonna say one thing and one thing only.
Mm-hmm.
Hell hath no fury like a poet scorned.
Thanks. Yo, let me tell you, the level of petty that I have reached in some of my poems, like he really told me that I try to incorporate real life as much as I possibly can. And those are like the baskets in my Easter eggs or whatever in my poetry. So like, I've incorporated real life text messages and real life quotes that have been said to me.
That's the fireness.
You know, I've incorporated somebody's IG name in one of my poems. Don't nobody know where it's at except that one person.
And that's what I was gonna ask. That was my follow up. Like, how much of real life is in you guys' pieces?
Oh, everything. I cannot write anything that is not me in my
book. I'm not saying it's not you, but like, sometimes we write shit
directly.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there's only two poems in my book that have not happened to me directly. Everything else as is my emotions, my feelings that has happened to me directly. Those are that's everything to me. My book is my book is a diary. Don't let it confuse you. It's not diary. It's always been my diary.
That's fire. So all right. So I want to do like some like a fake sales pitch here. I want you guys to sell me your book, even though it's all out right now. That's a thing. I mean, now yours is coming out, and just as yours is out right now, or will be out tomorrow.
Right. No, it's out. It's out right now.
Oh, okay. It's out right now. The website is out.
The website is coming out tomorrow, but it's website. Out. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So sell me in 2 to 3 minutes. Sell me your book. Give me an elevator pitch for your book.
It's out of minutes.
I mean, it could be a minute. Give me a minute.
Can I just be like super like fucking narcissistic for a second? Like, hello, sure. I'm on the cover.
Bro, right. On the cover. Hello.
Okay, but sell me the book. Sell me the book. Let's go. Come on. Give me a Wolf of Wall Street.
What?
All right, Jordan Belfort.
Yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Somebody start off.
Oh, okay. I'll go.
Oh, shut it. Yeah, you sell the book. I'm already buying it.
I have two copies, but
ooh, it's lit. All right. So the title of my book is Side Pieces, a collection of poetry. If you've ever felt like you giving yourself to someone and you've only gotten pieces in return,
or if you've ever been in a situation where you openly dated someone that was not emotionally available to you. If you ever had your heart broken, if you've ever felt like lust was more important than love, then this book is for you.
Mm. All right. I'll take 5 copies.
Excellent sales pitch. Way to relate to the ladies. Way to relate to the ladies. They're really going to get that one. That one. That one's it right there. That one's it right there.
I sold books to some guys. They bought it, you know. They
like of course. It.
Good, as they should.
Right. Guys, because they could probably relate to it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
See themselves in the book, be like, damn, I was really fucked up to this one girl.
See, I didn't say that. Did
man,
I say
that? How was that? No. Was that
meant, like, guys, they could have felt like the side pieces.
Yeah, but I mean,
side pieces, you know.
I know people that mess with married women. They the side piece.
Dudes are five. Yeah, there's guys that are side pieces out here.
Faithfully.
Honestly, for me, I felt it was a little bit easier. You know, like, there was a time in my life where I felt like growing up, I didn't have a positive example of love or good relationships. And so I never wanted to be in one. So I always thought it was easier just to kind of
be. Go through the motions.
You know, just chill over here, yeah. You know, whatever. Because I felt that it was easier. I wouldn't get my heart broken. That doesn't work all the time, but you know, that was my mind frame, because I'm like, well, my idea of love was so
warped,
was shattered, you know, and jaded at a young age, that I'm like, everything that I'm seeing, like, why would I want to be married if this is what it looks like? Why would I want to be someone's girlfriend if this is what it looks like? So I felt like I was in control of the situation by doing that.
Thanks.
I love that.
I like that. I will buy your book.
I think a lot of people can relate to that too.
Jess, Nat.
Okay, so you know, again, I'll be joking. I'm on it. I wrote it. But serious note, my book, similar to Sade's, it goes through a journey of love, sex, and depression. Again, literally the title speaks for itself. The picture on it is of me smoking a cigarette in some sort of lingerie type of thing with a wine glass on, you know, on the cover. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted the picture, the cover, to depict somebody who was going through fucking a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I was going through when I wrote that book. So it takes you on a journey of heartbreak first. It's the love section, basically, of what went wrong, kind of like this is the beginning of the middle part, which is the sex section, where it's like, okay, none of these relationships worked out. I got my heart broken. So now it's like, we turning this shit to savage mode. Savage mode's on. And now it's like, you're freely giving yourself up to so many other people. You're going through self-worth issues, self-confidence, you know, not really valuing yourself as a woman, as a person, dealing with men that degrade you, men that are not good for you. You know, simultaneously, the whole book is talking about my own struggle with, you know, alcohol. It's kind of like a theme throughout the book, which is why it was important for me to have the wine glass on the front. And then, you know, towards the end of that, it's, you know, it's just a lot. And then the depression section, it's everything. That's actually one of my favorite sections of the book, because it's so raw. The emotions that I felt behind it, in almost all of the depression pieces, when I wrote them, I was like crying. So it's a lot. You know, I think it'll give readers an understanding of, you know, that they're not alone, that they are, that there is pain. Maybe women who are going through some self-worth issues or like valuing themselves, they'll be able to say, hey, you know, Jessica went through a similar situation and this is how it turned out for her. Let's not fucking do that. And then on the back of the cover too is the suicide hotline number. And it also says you are stronger than your pain. And I think that's super important. And it's like faded out. So if you look at it, it's faded out. So I think that just goes to show how often people give you the number and you say something's bothering you. And it's like, okay, it's not bothering me. And then it just increases and increases till it's like, okay, fuck, this is bothering me. Let me go get help. So I really want readers to kind of understand that through this book, use my story as, you know, kind of like that, you know, thing to help you get through whatever you're going through.
A resource. Yeah.
Sold.
Definitely sold. I was like, wow, okay, all right.
I mean, the title alone honestly drew me in. Yeah. Because, you know, like, with my situation, it was like, yeah, I was physically involved with people, and then I went through this bout of depression, and now I'm more receptive to the idea of love, because it can be healthy, like, love can be good, because now I have friends that are in good relationships, and I see that.
Yeah.
And so I would love to... I can't wait to get it. I'm gonna.
I think the first poem definitely explains everything. You know why I am the way I am, and it's the perfect introduction to the entire.
And I told you that. Remember?
You know, I was super nervous about the whole thing, but no, again, and the manipulation part, because it's like your mind is literally manipulated by, like, okay, if, you know, by love. Like, okay, I think I love this dude, or I think I love this person, and I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z for that person, and then I end up getting, you know, fucked over in the end, okay? And then it's like a cycle that continues. And then with depression, you get manipulated by depression. So it's like, all right, I'm gonna end up, you know, trying to kill myself, or like you doing this, or whatever the case is, using alcohol, using drugs. It's a lot that your mind actually goes through. And I think that title just, it explains everything. The poems are in there strategically placed to really tell a story. So it's like one poem, like again, it's just a story. I'm just really trying to tell a story with everything. So
that's beautiful. I'm excited to read it.
So. Yeah. I think everybody's excited to get all your pieces. Nat, please. And for my follow up for Nat, because since this is your third baby, let's explain what's the difference between what they're going to expect from this one and what they got from the last two.
Okay, so this book, I mean, if you've been following me, or if you've been following my journey from when I got stuck in Florida last year during the beginning of COVID, so from like February 27th up to July 4th, I went through a whole range of emotions. The entire country was going through, the entire planet was just going through a lot at that time. Mm-hmm. And I was just so anxious, and all I could do was write. But in the midst of writing, I fell back in love with somebody I should not have fallen in love with in the first place. That led me to, you know, keep writing and keep pushing. And then people just coming back into my life, and other people just entering my life in such a way that I was like, this is supposed to be happening right now. This is why I'm here at this moment. So I'm going to write about everything I'm going through mentally. Who Is She was about, you know, I could tell that some people were missing another person while they were talking to me. There's pieces in there about how, you know, my culture, being a Dominican, you know, how that affected how I was feeling and thinking at the moment. There's pieces in there about New York and how I feel. The title of the book is New York City Built, Florida Grown. If you know me personally, you know that I am many parts Florida and I have many parts New York. There are parts of me that can never be taken out of where I came from. Like, you can take the girl out of New York, but you can't take the New York out of the girl. And you can take the girl out of Florida, but you can't take the Florida out of the girl either. So it's like these two different places went through so much alone. You know, we have the New York, the 9/11 that happened in 01. I was 10 years old, 9 and 10 years old at the time. We have the Pulse shooting of Orlando, that nightclub that happened 2016. I was at the height of my career at that time in Orlando, Florida. So it's like all these different things shape the artist and the person I am today. And this book really shows that, you know, this book was like, yo, like we're gonna grow with Nat. We're gonna fall in love all over again with someone brand new who is amazing to them. And then we're gonna show how that just deteriorated in a matter of moments of things being said, and then so many emotions that were just stuck. Cause that's what it was. The six piece block I was telling you about, the first three pieces are beautiful pieces. They're wonderful. They describe something I had never felt before. But then the last three or four pieces, it's like, what the hell happened? You know? So
And you're telling a story too.
Right. So this differs from my first two books, as in where the first book, was just a collection of poems that I call my pocket pieces. Like I've always told you guys, I have certain pieces that I always perform at open mics or at showcases. That was that. Mm-hmm. So that was more of a, hey guys, you guys have been waiting for this book forever. Here it finally is, you know? Mm-hmm. And then my second one, again, was after the brink, like on the brink of a breakup that almost literally destroyed me. Mm. So had I had just this book at the time of me writing Vuela, who knows where I would have been today, you know? Had I had that number, who knows if I would have written book three, had I had that number at that time, right? So you see where this is going. So Vuela is, again, another collection of pieces. I call Vuela my B-side book. Mm. Pieces that people knew but weren't really too familiar with, you know?
Flip over but side B.
Right. So with like a couple of like new singles that no one has ever heard before either.
The deluxe edition.
Right. The deluxe edition of that was Alone at the Round Table 2, basically. We'll put it that way. But New York City Built, Florida Grown is grown at coming now into her 30s. Like, hey, yo. You went through so, you weathered all the storms in all four seasons, and you still stood tall enough to tell that story. I don't know how, but you did it. Not one piece in this book was written in 2019. It was all 2020 pieces. Mm. Everything from March up until, I want to say, December.
Damn.
So it's
a chronological wrap-up for you for 2020, basically.
Basically.
It's your wrap up. Like Uncle Murder does a wrap up, you do your own wrap up, and that's the book.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the order itself, like, there's a lot of pieces like from the beginning and like
that's not you, Uncle Murder, though.
But like the middle is the most chronological part of the book.
Okay.
It tells that story from hey to oh shit.
Mm.
You
know. Right.
So, comes out February 17th. It is $19.91.
Mm. Mm.
So
1991, year she was born. Fuck with it, love it. Okay, I see it.
Mm.
You know, so
90 babies, early 90 babies. I got you. I'm with y'all.
Early 90s, early 30s.
Yeah, well, you know, y'all got a couple more years, so I'm 30, so I'm good.
You got what? You got a whole year.
I got 2 years.
Wait, how old are you, Lois?
Listen, don't worry about that. I'm 25, all right? I'm 25.
Listen, you know? Hey, get
I'm 25.
Baby off the
thing, I'm 25. What are you doing? Man. Yeah, you know what I mean? Anyway, so before we go, I wanted to see if we could do another round, just a quick round of some pieces. So that we can lead the people with some fire. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we did. This is a great segment. This is a great start of a new era on BTB. Only for the creatives. If you know, you know. This is only for the authors, the poets, the writers, the people who love wordplay, the people who love delivery, the people who love pace, cadence, rhetoric, content.
Love.
All for that. All for that. The peace, people. That's all we want to see sometimes. This shit is going to be played in a fucking speakeasy over some soft-ass jazz.
Ooh, I stuck with the vision.
Right. See, this is where I'm trying to go. You see my voice switched up?
I see
I'm raspy.
It.
I'm raspy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm in my dressing room, though.
You know what I'm saying? I can't guarantee that, but what I can do... I can get you the P&M's. I can definitely get you a shareable bag too.
The blue ones only.
The blue ones only. Those are the peanuts, I think. No, not peanuts. Those are the peanut butters. I don't fuck with them. Anyway. since I went first last time, I know you all strong, independent women. This is all the Published Mommies episode here.
Published Mommies.
For the poets.
Hey, say that again.
So I know it's 2021. You know what I mean? Women are strong and independent. Women rule the world, as just said. I know it's one of y'all that is bold enough to set
what
it
up. What was the order last time?
Well, last time, I think I went first. I think Saturday.
Then
Sunday. And then
Yeah. Then it was me, and then it was Jazz.
Right.
So I guess I'll go first then. Shit, fuck it.
Yes, let's get it, Jazz.
Okay, set it off. Set it off. Let's go serpentine then.
All right, cool. So I'll read a poem that's in my book.
Oh, exclusive. Burr, burr, burr. It's not exclusive. It's already out. It's already out. People go get it right now.
They better. StrongerThanMyPain.com. And mm-hmm. in case y'all don't know how to spell, it is THAN, stronger than my pain. Mm. Okay.
Not then, black people. Not then.
Okay. Not then, then.
No. I won't say not just black people. Black and Hispanics too. Black and Hispanics too. Then.
Let's not generalize it. Let's say all people, because everyone can
be fucking it up.
You're right.
And be victims
right.
of bad.
You're right. You're okay. right. You're right. You're right. You're right. I won't generalize.
Don't try to make that a us thing.
You know. But I was speaking to the immigrants because I know that immigrants be fucking
at shit. My dad sent me a butchered ass text message talking about he sold the book. I said, what? I'm like, what did he even say to me? I was just reading it. I was like, what did you even say? The grammar was so terrible. I was like, he tried. I'm like, I love it. All right. So I'm going to read this piece from my book. This is the first poem in the depression section. Mm. So this poem is called First Date Questions. Okay. All right. First date questions. So, yeah, actually, I'm going to open it up. Los, have you heard this piece? I don't think you did. Anyways,
no.
So what do you think of when you take somebody out on a first date? What are some of the questions that you want to explore and get to know?
First of all, I got to know where your head's at. One, two.
Like head or like.
Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I mean, like, you're mental, you're cerebral, man. I'm a sapiosexual. I got to know what's going on in here first.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, obviously, if, you know, what's going on in your head, if you got a job, what's your career path, what you want to do.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And like,
so you want to get to know somebody on the first day. Ooh. Long-term goal questions.
Yeah, I don't got time for this. You know what I mean? We building, we bullshitting. You know what I mean? I don't got time for all that. You know what I'm saying? Especially if I'm paying for it, I gotta do something. You know what I'm saying?
Here we go.
I'm just saying. If I you know what I'm saying? I at least gotta talk to you. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, no, I feel you. This poem, you know, a lot of the first day questions when I ask that, some people say, like, you know, how many siblings you got, what's your favorite color, what do you like to do, what are your hobbies, you know, on the surface, real questions. A lot of people don't always go into that mental health stuff. So this is everything that not a lot of people ask on first dates, but this is my first date questions.
Fire.
What if I told you I wasn't okay? And the only reason I called was to make the suicidal thoughts go away. What if I said I'm too scared to be alone? And even though it's childish, you bring me peace over the phone. What if I sobbed uncontrollably? Would you hang up immediately or stay on the phone with me? And if I dropped the call on purpose, would you keep calling until you get a hold of me? What would you do if I said I couldn't explain how I feel? Would you tell me it's in my head and that my pain is not real? Or would you hold me when I'm lonely and pray one day my scars will heal? Tell me. Because this isn't up for debate. My anxiety and my depression will always come on our dates. And I'd rather tell you now before you find out way too late, before you find me on my bed, just wallowing in my sadness with the negativity in my head. I cling to you just like a magnet. So with all that being said, is this a life you can imagine? Because you and I are the kind of opposites that never ends up attracting. Is it okay? That I'm not. I'm just trying to make you comfortable. I understand that it's a lot. I understand if you want to bail. You can leave before your entrance because my mind is like a jail and depression is a life sentence and there are no visitors. Am I making myself clear? There will be days I want you far, but times I need you here, like when my thoughts take control. And I hear these voices in my head that whisper such sweet nothings, like I'm better off just being dead, cutting deeper in the skin and closer to the vein. I don't cut because it hurts. I cut to feel the pain, and I don't mean to cut you off. I just cut into the chase because I like to take things slow, but depression has its own pace. So these are all the things I struggle with internally. But anyways, my favorite color is burgundy.
I'm dead. No. I'm dead. I'm dead. Beautiful. I'm dead.
Burgundy too.
I'm dead.
Now, I have a question, Jess. When you say my favorite color is burgundy, because you talked about cutting, is that kind of like a foreshadow?
I was going to say the same thing.
No, but I like that you picked that up.
Yeah, burgundy. I was going to say burgundy is the color of blood, old blood. So
I like that. Yeah. No, my favorite color. And I like to rhyme, so you can only imagine how hard it was to find something that actually rhymed with burgundy. It was terrible. But no, I like that a lot, and I'm glad that you actually got that from that piece. I like hearing people's reactions to it, and that's mm-hmm. that. No, I didn't think of that at all, but I like that a lot.
Well, one thing I would definitely say,
that's the beautiful thing about art.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, and I said this before, is art is just abstract and it's impressionable. You know what I mean? It depends on people's perspective. But for me, I mean, the thing I like about Jess's piece is that I know that her content is going to be always on 100. But for me, it's the cadence and the breathing, the controlling of the breathing. It's the delivery. It's knowing when to how to deliver things. To me, that shows season. Thank you know what you. I mean? So that shows that she's got experience. You know,
I do that. I've followed a lot of different people. That's my dog barking. I follow a lot of people, watching them, listening to them, following live performances, and just really being able to kind of, what I do is when I'm writing a piece, I read it from the top till I add the next line. So I'm rereading the piece as I'm going, and I'm performing it as I'm reading it as I'm going to perform it. And I get really into it. So there are pieces that I have to physically stop because I have to break down, cry hysterical, and touch it again maybe a week later, a couple days later. And that's what brings the realness of it. And it's I need to, that's how I know, okay, I need to stop at this point because this is where I broke down and I cried.
Mm-hmm.
Stop for a little bit. And, slow the breathing down, some points are louder, some points are softer, whatever. And, again, I'd like to read in my car too. I'll reread the, I'm just like this in the car the whole time. Pointing them out and they're like, F you too. I'm like, nah, I'm in here. The reader was like.
Well, Jess, let me ask you this because I don't consider myself a spoken word. I'm still working on my cadence, my breathing, all of that, figuring out my lane, because I've always written my poems for it to be read,
not
for me to perform it. And I'm still trying to figure it out. So thank you for saying what you've been doing is practice. That's something I need to do, just figure out my thing.
And you know what? That's so funny because I always say, I know that readable is not a word, but I'm going to just use it. I always said that my poems aren't readable. I feel like I write performance. I feel like because I've performed them, I feel like I'm how can I bring that performance to life in the words? I'm like, but you know what? I've sat with this book. I've read it 1,000 times before I sent it out. And I'm like, you know what? People can read it in a way that I wrote it and still get the emotions from
the
it.
The imagery's still there.
But definitely, again, no, read it when you're writing it. Read it as you're going to perform it, how you want to deliver it, what part of it stands out to you, what part is if I heard this, somebody else is everyone's going to turn their head and be like, damn, I wish I wrote that. So make sure that, you emphasize maybe that part, or you slow it down, or you repeat it again, you say it a little bit louder, whatever the case is, play around with it, get fun with it. It's your art. It's your private place for you to, describe your feelings. And that's what you said that, your poetry is. Do that. Be comfortable with it.
And that's fine. I got a follow-up question before we continue the rounds. How frequently do you guys write a piece and not finish it? And cause I had to finish my piece in that sitting. You know what I'm saying? So do you guys do that? Is that?
No. Not always.
Not always. I feel like because at that point, I already mixed two different energies. And it's sometimes trying to mix them is the hardest part. You know, how do I transition these two?
So I think that's what makes it. Sorry, were you going to say something? I cut people off sometimes.
Well,
because I didn't consider myself a poet, I used to write like in prose, you know, like short stories, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And yeah, you can write something and then come back to it and then continue to build upon that. So I have the same energy with my poems because mm-hmm. I started out writing in a different style.
Mm.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know.
No, it's not anything wrong. I just don't do it.
And then, yeah.
I can't do it. I have to finish it in that sitting. I can't come back to it because I feel like I lost with my train of thought and my direction, my trajectory of what I wanted to go with that poem or that piece. So it's like, I can't revisit that.
It depends for me.
Yeah. They kind of come to me, and I don't know if this is like, I actually heard Elizabeth Gilbert, the woman that wrote Eat, Pray, Love,
right.
say this in a TED Talk, like, I get these waves of like, words like
mm-hmm. like little rhythms and little like
a thought will come to me and I'm like, oh shit, let me get to my phone notes or let me get to mm-hmm. something and write it down before I forget mm-hmm. and it like comes in waves and then I can go back to it and kind of build upon it like, okay, this is what
can I be nerdy for a second because yeah. I've watched countless documentaries on brain waves, right? And where and how to be more creative. First of all, there's four brain waves, right? And they say that the most creative we are is when we're in like we're driving because we're in this trance.
I like to write the most when I drive. It's so
yes.
Let me call real quick because this is too much going on.
Yeah, this is.
I'm like, hey Siri, write this, and yeah. then. Siri, this is not what I said.
Yes, and so it's writing, it's driving while driving. It's one while you're in the shower, of course. Most of the ideas come in the shower, and it's like when you're watching TV. Sometimes you get in a mm-hmm. trance, and another one was like when you're right before you're going to sleep, but you got this like semi groggy kind of like some of the best shit comes out to you right before bed. So. That's what it says, like some of those waves are when you start realizing it, that's when you start to capitalize, like, I know when some shit in the shower, I'm gonna harmonize some shit, gonna sound fire. Let me have my phone right there ready. Both know bop 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 bop. You know what I mean? So
I feel like, you know, as far as like writing some quotes and stuff now, yo, I do that all the time. Like you have to, you know, mixing the energies is great.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, because sometimes it doesn't mesh well.
Mm-hmm.
So like I have this poem that I started in August and I went back to it a couple of times. I cannot, it's not flowing. And so now I'm stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
Know that when it comes out, but I think that, you know, some of the issues that I struggle with is like I block my feelings. So I like purposely suppress my feelings. I don't mm-hmm. want to. So now that's that writer's block for
mm-hmm.
me. Can't write. It's like, no, I'm not feeling right now. I'm not feeling this. I'm not going to push something that isn't me. So,
and that's what I don't want to be stuck with this Frankenstein piece. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want different limbs and shit, different. Yeah. I want a nice, clean, concise. I've birthed you. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's alive.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I pieced them together. Like, we have the technology to fix them. I don't want to do that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Frankenstein took time, though, okay?
I'm sure he did.
It took time.
He's a fucking monster.
It's fine. And, you know, I'm going to plug something real quick in regards to writer's block. So I started these workshops called the Writer's Block Cure. Free plug. And so for me, my writer's block was lack of confidence. I realized with time, it's like, I'll have this really dope idea. And then all of a sudden, like I'm at the laptop and like nothing's coming out. And it's like, I'm almost afraid of releasing these things to the world because, oh, what are these people? Like, it took me a while to like release side pieces strictly off the fact that the title is Side Pieces. And it's talking about lust, you know? Mm. And I was afraid of how people would perceive me and think that I'm like this, you know, whatever you want to call it, because I'm writing about
promiscuous,
you know, and that's not me, you know, but it's like people, what are people going to think? I'm dropping a poetry book called Side Pieces and all this shit. I'm talking, one of the pieces is like, I'm in a Miami hotel room, you know? So it's like,
hey, talk spicy.
I was, I was afraid. I was afraid of like putting my emotions out there. But I do this workshop where I use, you know, music and other art forms to help other artists kind of like loosen up a little bit and just like write freely instead of being in their head all the time. It will be virtual, so keep a lookout for it. Just wanted to put that out there.
Fire. I'm down. I need some of that. I feel like I'm in a rut sometimes and I've been producing, but at a bare minimum, not to my maximum. I could be taking over the world right now if I really wanted to, but I'm just like, ugh. And also too, how to deal with like work and outside life and try to balance that within trying to create. That is like one of the major challenges for me.
That was always tough for me when I was working. I would write at work. I was like, wait, are you here?
Yeah, and that's for me. But so, Nat, since Sade stepped out, you're up at the bat.
Okay, fine. So this piece I'm doing is signed, sealed, delivered. I love this piece because I feel like this is like the one time that I talked about my mental health in a piece. Mm-hmm. In a way that I wasn't like, hey, y'all, I'm going through it. It's more like, oh, look at what's happening, you know? Mm-hmm. So here it goes. Signed, sealed, delivered. Professionals may argue I'm jaded. Too complex for love, but simple to please. What kind of twisted fate have I been dealt at the hands of love? As luck would have it, I'm difficult to love. Now that I've grown up, some expected to settle down, find a man to put up with a heart he never broke, and a brain beyond repair. My family may argue I'm broken. Sing my sorrows like a broken record, scratched and damaged by many, but broken down by none. Gave up my sanity for a little fun. Look where I ended up. On a stage with a heart hip hop didn't break, poetry managed to stitch together, rhythm and lyrics flying off paper through microphones and phone speakers. Fate delivered in a sealed envelope. I guess I'm a hope dealer, some sort of dream seller. Just telling my story so somebody feels better. Signed, sealed, delivered. Hoping somebody gets the message. My heart's back in ice. It'll take time to strike conversation. My mind may argue I'm ready. My body knows better. Can't risk being confused till I get myself together. Because what good is my damaged mind to your version of what real is? May consider yourself blessed, too blind to see you got stuck off the realness of what I spit and speak on stage. As luck would have it, I'm better with my words than I am my feelings. All too jammed up to understand how I'm dealing with it all. Jaded, complex, simple, broken. All just words until you consider what's been spoken. Sanity and fun tipping off a Libra scale. Will I ever recover from this passion? Or should I just wait it out till it fades out of fashion? Mm. And that was probably one of my most difficult pieces.
Peace. Are you a Libra?
I am not.
Mm. Okay.
I'm an Aquarius turning 30 in 13 days.
Woo! Okay.
Same date her book releases.
Yeah,
book.
Right.
Hey, I feel like
if you know me, you know why I put the Libra scale in there twice.
Mm. That was Munra, because I was like, oh, okay, I see it.
No, there's a reason why the Libra scale is in there twice, but it's not because of me.
Fire. I like the energy that's coming off with this new book. I like this energy. I like this.
This ain't energy. I found myself now. You can't fuck with me. Energy.
Yeah, this is that. Yeah, this that. You know what I mean? I'm getting a little struggle on. You know what I'm saying? A slight flex. I'm not really crazy on them, but I'm, you know what I mean? I'll let you know I'm here.
I'm going on the back.
Yeah.
I'm back. Because
that's the thing. Like, you guys don't know the Nat before 2020. Like, she's not a safe person mentally. Like, I'm not all there.
Are we all?
True, but like I was in a really bad place. Like, y'all don't know that.
I just seen a nigga kill two people on Twitter. What the fuck?
Hold up. What?
Yeah. Let's get out. I'm I don't want to bring that type of energy here. We having good, peaceful, vulnerable energy. Let's keep it. Let's keep it there. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm just not saying. We're not all there. Just that's right. That was my reference.
But yeah, no, I feel like that was like this piece was like real tough for me to write, and I even shared it with some people, and I was like, they're gonna think I'm so fucking crazy. I've been getting to know somebody, and I was like, I want to see what I wrote, and he was like, sure. I was like, is that a good idea though?
Okay, if they can't accept your art, then fuck it. Headshot.
I know. That's like that's a
deal breaker.
Yeah, because I've dealt with someone that was a creative and really fucked with me. Like my writing, like asked me I need the next person that I date like to ask me questions, you know, and not just like, oh, you know, what made you want to be a writer? But like, what's the inspiration behind this piece? Or, you know, who do you want to model your career after? Like,
where can I buy your book?
Yeah, like, I need someone that's, like, genuinely interested.
Not somebody that's going to say, like, oh, you a poet? Write a poem about me. No, we don't do that.
You don't want me to do that.
Play your cards right, and I don't have to.
I've dealt with guys with in the same industry as me. Like we used to all run in the same circle with my shows or whatever. So it was like, yo, like, you know what's up when I'm on that stage. I'm a different person when I come off that stage. Choose who you want to fuck with, because being on stage is not always there. You know what I mean? That's not 24/7. Who I am off the stage, behind the scenes, out the door, is who you will get 24/7. So which
keep one? The stack.
You know, keep which one?
That's real.
But so, when the two cross each other, and when the person outside writes the poems that the person on stage is gonna write,
let's get that divine.
You know.
Sada, do you want to follow up as we're on our second round here, winding down the show? If you can bless people once more, what are we getting this one from? Is this another?
So I'm gonna read from the book.
Okay.
I never title any of my poems, but this you can find on page 41.
Page 41, y'all. What page 15? <on? laughs> You ever seen the movie The Wood?
Man, I haven't seen that. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, what page 15 on? Anyway, page 41, y'all.
I gotta be serious.
You got it.
I keep trying to be the strong person. I want to be perceived as a warrior through my words. After all, I am a female Black poet. My words should reign of freedom and strength. But all I can seem to write about are the he's that have hurt me. To the blind eye, I am free of emotional ties. I brush heartbreak off as if it's expected. But no one knows how hard I fell for you. Or for you. Or for you.
Wait, what?
I didn't inspect it either. But I am done being strong. I have finally surrendered to my emotions, and I am here to say that I do not see how the universe's plan to succumb me to loveless relationships and lustful encounters will help me grow. I don't know why I have never been exposed to real romantic love. Or why I was born into a family of strong, single moms. Why did the universe shatter my idea of love at my most impressionable years? I can't see the big picture. I can't see the future. And I can't be strong today. Not today. Just let me sit in this sorrow.
Oof. Oof, girl.
Yeah, I want her.
I loved that.
That one hurt.
You would have.
Thank you. Yeah, kind of hurt me a little bit.
Yo, honestly, when you did the little thing, I thought you had a little tear. Oh my God.
Let me get it together.
Hold on, let me get it together now.
That was beautiful.
That was fire.
I love
very
that.
Very fire. Very relatable. Very, very like.
Love at your most impressionable age, right? That's what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heavy. Heavy.
Oh my God.
Heavy.
And then it's about single mothers.
Like I was saying earlier, you know, when I was younger, a lot of women in my family are like single moms, you know, these strong, you know, they're dope, but they're single, right? Mm-hmm. And anyone that was in a relationship, I did see abuse, you know, a lot of toxic shit. And so for me, it's like, why is this all I see? You know, like, why can't I be around love and seeing like happiness, right? When it comes to love, like there, I talk about in the collection as well about this guy that I dated who was obsessed with his parents' relationship. Like, he loved their marriage. He's like, this is what I want. Like, I definitely want to be married. I definitely want kids. Like, and I was intimidated by that because I'm like, I have no example of what that looks like. Mm. And I don't even know if I can be the woman for you because I don't know what to do.
Mm.
And I left that situation because I was terrified of, like, I guess disappointing him, you know, or not living up to his expectation of what love and marriage and happiness looks like. So, yeah.
Fire.
Yeah, no, you could tell that it was coming from, you know, a very, like, place, very vulnerable position too. It was beautiful, and you know, I think a lot of women can relate to that who are in situations where they weren't shown the greatest example of love. You know, I that's very relatable, and the way that you wrote it so beautifully, and it's just something that I think a lot of people are able to appreciate. I really cannot wait to get. I just followed you right now on Instagram because I texted.
Look at that. Soliciting. Look at that. You're welcome, y'all. This is the cross platform that I and mind you, I didn't tell them that they're going to be on the episode with each other. So I didn't know if they had beef. I didn't know they had beef. I didn't care. Everybody's neutral when it comes to BTB platforms. So.
Imagine that, we didn't like each other and we're like, what the fuck are y'all doing here?
Yeah. I'd be like, listen, for the sake of the episode, please.
Okay. But you saw me, I was getting my 15 minutes of fame by myself.
Right? You know what I mean? We got enough. We got enough over here.
The fights happen in the dressing room. Get that camera off my face.
Throw champagne and shit.
Champagne, so that's not me, but
my bad. You know, reality is TV, they do. That's what the people want to see. They want to see that champagne flute going.
They be wasting that Andre, that's what it is.
They can waste the Andre. Fuck that shit. They can waste the Andre. Throw that shit. Throw that bougie, throw that Andre. Anywho. Let's cool episode down. Let's wind it down. I got a piece here. This is two out of three pieces that I wanted to write, inspired by Jhené Aiko, which women love. Men love them too, love her too, but women tend to love her more. So, yes, she is definitely bae. And Bay loves her, so it's annoying. So I wrote the 10,000 hours take, and then I wrote a piece after Surrender, which is another song on her album. So I think I want to read the Surrender piece because I haven't read that in a while and I forgot I even wrote it. So Surrender, and it has a little bit of her excerpt in here. So, I'm not going to monetize this episode because Jhené will come after me and her management team. All right, so it's called Surrender. Senior year with no college acceptance letter yet. Just disappointment anointed from his parents. Yelling at him like, don't ever ignore me, you'll be sorry. Ran away from home and enlisted in Aiko's army. He felt invincible. Saying to himself, even when unharmed, no one could harm me. His AK made him feel godly. Deployed in the Middle East, tried to stay cool, but it's not 100 degrees. His pride was his weakness. He became a prisoner to his enemies. a terrorist group starred him for weeks. He thought this feeling of hunger would never retire. They lied as they sent him a woman in full Muslim attire. She nursed his wounds till they felt better. He gazed into her eyes as they planned their escape together. Weeks passed. He envisioned escaping and what life would be like. She responded, "I'm the boss there. Ain't no rushing me." Tortured him and drugged him. She realized she loved him. They could never be together under the eyes of Allah. Praying five times a day, hoping to find a better way. Her ultimatum? Surrender to Allah or never see the light of day. She spoke with the terrorist, thinking to herself, hell is not a place but wherever the devil is. Dawn emerges. She meets him in his cell, but something isn't right, and she seems urgent. She freed her man, sprint out the cave as fast as they can. They crossed over the river. He's getting anxiety and not knowing where he's going. She responded, "Do you trust me? We're going to be free." Arrived at her destination, thinking it was a safe haven. Just another scary plot twist, Wes Craven. Same militiamen that held him captive. Astonished was his facial expression, wondering if she led him in his direction. All that lovey-dovey stuff was mush, just to trust you and walk right into an ambush. 19 and never wrote a college paper. Seconds away from meeting an eternal date with his maker. Closed his eyes and stuck his chin up proud, anticipating that gun going blow. He said, "This is really how it's going to be?" She responded, "You're American. You'll never be truly free. Americans are nationalists, but all pretenders." She pressed the gun up to his head and now said, "Surrender. Surrender your soul, your mind, your heart, your body, your potentiality, your actuality, your spirituality, your reality. We get it all for free. Why can't we give it back so easily? Surrender." Peace.
I'm like there in the desert with a gun on my head, like, oh my god, it's over.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to go with. It was the imagery, you know what I'm saying? And this comment was getting to me, but I wish I could deliver 1,000, because if I deliver it 1,000, it's gonna hit like a gut punch. You know, so. But you see the intellect in there. You see the
imagery was incredible. It was mad vivid. I like that.
Thank you. Some of it is actually some of her actual words, or some of her lyrics actually in there. Like how Jess said that she actually implements real life and some of her text messages and at names and stuff like that.
At names.
Yeah, screen names. I'm showing my age. Screen names.
here we go with this age.
Boy, you know what I'm saying? 25.
I don't even have a MySpace because.
Don't, come on, stop it. Don't do that. I know. I was a level 3 coder.
Y'all have Zanga.
I don't have Zanga.
Zanga?
Did y'all have one at some point?
What is it?
It was like a blog. It was like
I didn't do those. I had a Tumblr.
Like Facebook, but like just like statuses, just like all day. Just like, and you could just write like mad shit under like in the book.
I didn't.
I had a Tamagotchi though. I had a Tamagotchi.
That always died.
So many, and they all died. I never took
it. Damn, you never fed your shit?
What was it, a Gigapet too? We had the Gigapets.
The Gigapets?
Yeah.
Anyway, we could walk down nostalgia all day long. This has been the first ever Poets Corner. The beautiful ladies here. The published mommies out right here. Please tell me one more time where everybody could go get your book, where everybody could follow you at, where they can consume your content.
Amazon, Instagram, Yernandez, 3 R's, or Alone at the Round Table on Instagram. I'm taking a break from Instagram in real life right now.
Now, you need a Twitter.
I have a Twitter.
Oh, yeah, you do have a Twitter. Twitter. Correction, you do have a Twitter.
I'm taking a break right now. Yernandez. If y'all want
to
look.
Shout out to the Gushers. Shout out to the Gushers, man. Them shits got me regulated. Anyway. Jess, is that it?
Ben, I am Jessica. My Instagram is JPAYESSS _. I'm probably going to change it, but that's it for now. My book is available on Amazon, but get it off of my website, Stronger Than My Pain, THAN, Stronger Than My Pain. StrongerThanMyPain.com is $20. And you know, I put my interview with BTB on there.
Gang.
And also links my Google Calendar so you guys can support and figure out where I'm gonna be doing what next.
Hey.
Stay tuned for the merch. Merch is coming.
Merch. So, Get your merch.
For now, it's just a book, Manipulated by Love, Sex, and Depression.
Hey,
say less. It's your girl Sade. You can find me on Instagram at, now if you don't know how to spell Sade, it's SADE_thewriter. On Instagram, the link is right there. You can purchase the buy, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever books are sold virtually. And the title of the book is Side Pieces, a Collection of Poetry. I am also a creative writing instructor, so if anyone needs assistance with, you know, finding their voice, or figuring out what genre they would prefer to write in, hit up your girl. And yeah,
fire. Thank you for every girls for joining the show, joining the new segment. I'm excited. We set the precedent, the benchmark, the standard, the status quo. It is high now. Now for episode 2, I got to come in the bag for episode 2 now, because I didn't knock somebody out in episode 1. Yeah, it's gonna be harder to. I gotta knock somebody out in episode. I gotta kill somebody with the words. Yeah. I gotta write a new piece for episode 2. That's what type of time we are.
More published mommies out there. Good
yeah,
luck, guys.
Exactly. Now we set up. We got 3 published authors on the first episode. What? That's a low key flex.
And
what is
my international poet?
Yes. Yes. That's what this is. And this is the energy. And this is the, like I said, this is the precedent that we are setting here at the Poet's Corner. From presented by BTB Studios, Black of the Berry, baby. I love your peace, love, and chicken. This has been it. Peace, girls. It's been beautiful. It's been excellent. I love the pieces. I love sharing the pieces with you. I love sharing the vulnerability, the bouncing off creative ideas, and
the pettiness that came out of
the general creative support between creatives. Ah,
yes.
A1, you can't replace it. You need that. And sometimes your fellow creatives will support you more than friends that have known you for 20 years. So let's just
say that. Say that again.
Preach, Reverend, preach. They saying, can I get an amen? All right now. So with that, the church will say, praise Tabernacle, and I'll see y'all another time.